God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, cannot be known by the intellect, cannot be known by the vital layers of the pranas. It can be known only by the soul, light alone can know the light. When it is liberated, when it is analyzed from mind and outgoing faculties, this is practical. No intellect you need, that appeals to you, but how to do it? Whatever methods we are having now, reading our scriptures, saying prayers, performing certain rites and rituals, they all relate to the outgoing faculty. And this is something to start when you rise above all to outgoing faculties. Even with the mind, intellect too, you cannot. Unless you are intellectually still, as a matter of inference, you might draw inference to come to some conclusion. But still the mind is working, intellect is working. What we must be intellectually still too. Then a sort of transport arises to the soul and it is unbound. This is all we have to do. So when a master, someone comes to the master, what does he do? He first, all these 10 servants of the outgoing faculties, 5, audition, sight, smell, taste and touch, working to the sense organs of the ears, eyes, nose, tongue and skin. These are to be controlled. If these are controlled, then house will be set in order. Every servant to do his job. Or as you clean the room, you set ears in order, you light the candles, everything all right. So this is the first thing to be done. Those who are attached are given up to the outside enjoyments, pleasures, maybe good, excuse me, or bad. Both cannot rise above bodhicitta. That is why Lord Krishna said, good actions and bad actions, both are binding, like the gold chains or the iron chains. So this is practical. First thing, what we have at the feet of the Master. He gives you how to withdraw from outside for a while, how to rise above body consciousness for a while. One day cannot become an MA. Rome was not built in a day. But once you get something by regular practice, by obeying his orders, naturally you become adept. The man who is reading in the MA class today, sometimes he is reading in the primary. If those who are reading in the primary, they are given the same help and guidance, well, they can reach the MA class. That is why it says, every saint has his past, and every sinner, man can change. Even the dacoits, you see, can become saints. Valmiki was a dacoit, I tell you. He became Saint Valmiki. He just related the story of Ramayana 18,000 years before it actually happened. So my point is, there is hope for everybody. There is nothing to be disheartened. Only we have to, what experience is given, we have to develop it without intervention of outgoing faculties and intellect. It does not mean you should not use your intellect. Understand. When you understand the sit and do, let mind not meddle into it. Because if your mind is just clutching, seeing, here, there, drawing inference, intellect is working. And until you are intellectually still, you cannot take a step further. So this is the first thing we have to do. For that, you are advised to keep a diary for self-introspection. You now realize the necessity. But how many are you who are keeping diaries, maintaining diaries daily? I'm afraid it may not be 10%. That is why even if we do get something, we do not progress wonderfully. We must. So this is first thing we learn at the feet of the master. What is the difference between a master and an average man? He is a man all the same, and the doctor is a man all the same, like us. But he is known by anatomy, how the system works, how the diseases arise, how can that those be cured. Similarly, this is a disease we are suffering, you see. Those who are just adept, competent, going himself beyond these bounds, help others to raise them up. Well, such a man is called a master. The God in him. You know, who can give you contact with God? No son of man can do it. It is the God absolute when it came into expression. You see? When he came down, then he gave some teachings of the higher because he had seen it. The Lord has come, he knows almost all the way. In the man body, although in the man body, he is conscious of that. That's the difference between the man and every man and a master. So he says, when you come to such master, this is the first thing to be done. And we lack here, I tell you of it. We are given some experience, but we don't live up to it. Dragged away by the outside prayers, knowing that God is within us, the priceless jewel, priceless pearl, but we cannot leave off this dross of the outside. Tagore, poet of the International Flame, says, O God, I see there's a great wealth in you. Why I cannot throw away the filth or the dross of this body? Knowing fully well, we do realize intellectually. And all masters who say, what do they say? They say, God first and world next. And what do we say? We say, world first and God may come after. Truly speaking, we are not after God, we are after world. We pray God. Why? Most of us, we want worldly things. Had that not been the competency with God, nobody would have thought of God too, you see. A weaker man prays before some stronger person. So whatever goes out from the heart of our hearts, he hears, he is there already. He is watching our every action. Ask and it shall be given unto you. This is what all masters say. So this is the first thing, I'm laying much stress on that very point. I've been requesting, directing, I've been begging of you people through my circulars and verbal talks too, and still if you do not do it, we should. So that's the first thing there. What will happen? Now you have eyes. You see? When you wish you miss, with your open eyes, you have so much control over your sight, whereas open eyes you do not see. This we can develop, you see? Newton was sitting by a roadside, solving certain mathematical problems. He was so much absorbed in these problems that the band passed by him while playing. He did not hear. Why? Until this attention, which is the outcome of our souls, or with the outgoing faculties, these outgoing faculties do not work. Somebody passed by asking, well, Newton, has any band passed by this way today? No, I don't know. You might have got experience in your own lives when you are sitting very much absorbed in some thought. Somebody calls you, you do not hear. Somebody comes, sits by you and you are absorbed. You don't feel who has come and who is gone. So this is the training of the attention, what is called the Sukh Yoga, you see. So when that is set, you see, you might be sitting and hundreds of people will still be all around. This is what Emerson says. When he wanted all loneliness, he went to an inn, you see, where hundreds come and hundreds go. Because there is no concern with anybody, he is absorbed in his own thoughts. So if you think that you should leave the world and go to the outside world in the wilderness, there also you have got, you see, animals and trees and everything, your attention will be drawn outside. The only thing required is to control all outgoing faculties. And how to do it? That you can learn from those who have done it and follow the instruction. So naturally, when everything is set, you might have experienced in your life too, when you are cut off from every outside, you feel a sort of rest and peace. At times, not every day, but at times it does. When you are cut off, quite absorbed from everything, you feel a sense of pleasure, rest, bliss, peace. Naturally what happens? We are after having that peace prolonged. Naturally, you see, we are children of light, as I told you, like a candle's flame. Its source is up, always wants to go. Even you turn its face downward, even then it will go down. Our soul is of God, you see, of light. It is bound by the outgoing faculties and the body. When it is liberated, it will go up. It is but natural. Then naturally, the true rest comes. How? We withdraw our attention from outside. We enter this laboratory of the man body, you see. Just from the burning rays of the sun, when you enter some room, hot, very hot outside, when you enter the air-conditioned room, how feels, how rest you feel? It is something like that. You feel it at rest. Some glimpses, when Master comes, only Narthi shows you how to withdraw from outside and enter this laboratory of the man body. But he also shows you how to rise above senses and have some experience. When there is no questioning of mind, when intellect is at rest, naturally that truth becomes refulgent. You see light. If you are questioning why this is, why that is not, why that has not come, then mind is not still, you see. That has to be still. So what he feels, you see, at that time, the experience of God in the form of light and sound. This is first thing. As you rise, the Master gives you an experience first to how to rise above this iron curtain of your man body. Then as you day-to-day practice, you rise above the astral body, the causal body, the super-causal body. You day-to-day more bliss, more joy, everything like that. Saint Tulsidas, he says when he rose above this body consciousness, reached the causal plane, he had experience of bliss and joy, he thought, oh, well, that's the most and the highest of all. And he says when he transcended the causal plane into the super causal and beyond, he thought perhaps this causal plane was only a washing room as compared to that. Those who have tasted that bliss, they are here in the world, but they are bound, you see. Masters are going under the order of God, you see. They want to go back. Once also any of us, when have got some experience like that, we wish to go in there. Now why we don't want to go in there? Because we find joy and bliss and happiness in the outside things. And moreover, we have never cared to analyze, to go into the matter, what it is that gives us bliss in the outside things. We are conscious beings. How a conscious being can have I mean bliss or joy or happiness in material things. But do feel how, why we are bliss personified. God is all bliss, all happiness, all joy. And we are also in it, this bliss is also in it in us. So long as we are identified with something, for the time being we reflect our own happiness in those things. When that thing is withdrawn from us, or we are made to withdraw from them, we feel unhappiness. So we should identify ourselves with something which is not changing, and that is God alone. So outside thing, whatever happiness we feel, they're really not lying in those things, but in our own self, that is reflected there, so long as we are identified with them. So such a soul cries, oh, how beautiful you are, you say. How beautiful, how, what you say, all wisdom. He sees his wisdom in all things, because he becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. He sees it as he is doing, not I. So naturally the question arises from a new man, well, how did you get it to this stage? You say it is all beautiful, it is all glory. All outside inside is all his expression, God is light, God is everywhere, he is all wisdom, this and that thing. But how did you attain to this state? What did you do? That's a natural question that would be asked. So for that, we are all, I think, seeking that thing. First thing is, be truthful. Be truthful. If you don't tell lies, you will change. Deeds of darkness are committed in the dark. You go and want to do it somewhere where nobody sees you. So anything that requires secrecy, that is a sin. Two seekers after God went to a master. The master told him, look here, here are two pigeons. Take them away and kill them someplace where nobody sees you. One was very active, he went round under the shade of a, you see, wall where nobody was seeing, he killed it, came back in a few minutes. The other poor fellow, wherever he went, he did not find anyone, any place where nobody did see. From morn till night, he was going round and round, and returned in the evening unsuccessful. Master asked him, what? Haven't you been able to kill this? No, sir. Why? Could you find any place? No, sir. And who was seeing you? Then the very pigeon was seeing me. You follow the beauty of the sayings, I tell you, you see. Live up to them. Each of one, you must be an ambassador, I tell you. The man who has got the man body, he has the birthright to become God, I tell you. There is no exaggeration about it. But pity it is, we don't follow. For that very purpose, you will find you have been given diaries to maintain. What are they for? Be truthful in mind, word, and deed. Don't make false promises. Don't think otherwise, say otherwise. Let your heart, brain, and mouth agree. What is the criterion of a truth? Truth, full saying. That all these three, your tongue, what you speak, your intellect, your mind, agree what you've got in your heart. Can you do any evil thing? Mind that anything when you do, you are later on asked, well, what you are doing, and nothing, sir. That's telling lies. When you tell one lie, you have to say other hundreds of lies to cover that lie. How we create for our own self more thorns, you see? Who is a truthful man? Ask him any time. He is the same thing. He is not to think what he has to say. And a man who tells lies, you think, well, I have told to this man this thing, that man another thing, is all you are trying to reconcile. But the cat must be out of the bag. You see? Even one thing, if you be truthful, you can change, you see? So naturally we want truthfulness, first of all. Not that anybody sees, you see. The God in you sees it. The Master Power within you sees it. So why I tell you, mind, be true to your own self. You are true to your own self, you are true to your God, to your Master. If you are true to your own self, you have to fear none in the world, in the three worlds. This is first thing required. And further, when some God in man, now I will say, where he manifests, he puts you on the way, gives a contact with you, that God power is the true Master, not the Son of Man, mind that, that resides within you. Can you do any evil or bad thing, even when a child of 5 years is sitting before you? You require secrecy. Our Master used to say, you see, when a child of 5 years is sitting by you, you want secrecy. You are going to do some new thing, you try to avoid. When that very God power is within you, watching your every action, you see, how can you do any evil? So fear of that. Once it so happened in my life, you see, generally these controversies do come up. You see? And there was great propaganda against me. Once Master asked me to initiate 250 people in the monthly gathering, you see. And then naturally competition arises and there was great propaganda against me. I kept quiet. Because I was true to my own self. I knew God is within me, Master is within me. And it was so arranged that I could not talk to the Master for 6 months. So much influential people came up to that. So once my brother, you see, elder brother was there, I told him, if you go to the Master, he was also initiated. Just by the way, asked me if I any sin I might have committed. But his eyes were giving me support, you see. Well, he asked him, he said, you have not done anything, even knowingly or unknowingly. But strange enough, so much has passed over his head, and he had never come to me to say that this propaganda is not right, which is being carried on. I never asked any question of my Master, except two or three in the beginning. So I naturally, after requesting, I want a few minutes. Oh, yes, yes, you are welcome. So at night, when everybody was away, he locked the door, I sat by him, and I told him, Master, I did not come to you. Because I knew you were in me. And you are watching my every action. And the further trend, you also watched. That is why I did not come. All the tables were turned. So be truthful, I tell you. This is a very great qualification. We people don't care. We sell the prophet Joseph for the sake of little petty monies. You gamble your, what you say, eternal life with few mundane things. We too so. Have fear, he's seeing, he's watching. The two qualifications, you see. And the third thing is, he gives you contact with the world power, you see. How to rise and how to come in contact with the normal world power, the light and sound, which will be regular, day to day. This is bread of life. Don't miss it. And what will happen? You will have progress day to day, inner peace, inner jaya. Whatever outward prayers or performance or rites and rituals will become blessed. Yes. When you say prayer, you'll find me in front of you. When you read scriptures, always is vivid to you. You see? Such lighting you'll find. Naturally, you'll have all peace. Your soul, which is down from there, coming in contact with the, you see, the God power, which is light and sound principle. The more the our consciousness comes in the all contact with the all consciousness, it overflows with giant peace. All wisdom. God is all wisdom. And masters, you see, never speak at the level of it, like they speak as it comes. And Emerson says, the thoughts which come without thinking, they are always perfect. And what does he do? He loves all. Even the sinners and the others. For sinners, he has got more pity and more love, I tell you. Because he considers he is the child of God. His work is to bring together all children of God together. Now, this is the preparation what you do that thing. But one thing more, he says how you became beloved of God, how the God became beloved of you. You became the beloved of God. How did you, when, take the example of, well, a girl, she has been married, she is devoted to her husband, mind and soul. True, you see. She lives according to what he wishes. Result, what it is? She loves her husband and her, so husband begins to love her. Whatever she wants or needs, or he sees that he wants it, he gives him, provides him, without asking for it. The lover, I mean the wife, becomes the lover of her husband, and husband becomes the lover of his wife. This is a worldly way, you see. Masters, when they give teaching, they give both ways. So those who love God come in contact with him. Naturally, those who go at his beck and call, constant, do not do anything of their own free will, which is actually, well, he becomes enamored of that. The master, he loves God, and God loves master. But master has no other than God in them, you see. That's the only comparative, I mean, a relative statement to show. So the question arises, how you become the beloved of God? Well, naturally, kind of by obeying, just like any female, any girl will do. You see, girl, when she is betrothed, engaged with some real, truly engaged at heart, all the while she thinks of it, is it not? And that reaction in the heart of the others, that is abiding in him, and he abides in it. So that way, that dwells receptivity, you see. And that makes what, you see? The other man does what he does, you see. There's a story in India, you see. There's one student who was called Ghanimat by name. Master fell in love with the student so by so. He could not write calligraphy, good handwriting. He simply scribbled. And the master came so much enamored of him that he began to copy the scribbling. This is the feat of love, I tell you. Love is great, has great power. One saint prays, O God, we have been liberated from the world, all entanglements and bindings. Now you take care of your own self, you are bound more than me.
Good evening, and welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the second part of the talk titled The Birthright to be God. This was given on 19th January 1964 in Washington, D.C. We will broadcast the final part in the next Tele Satsang. Our reader this evening is Claire Stannard.
Hello, everyone. This talk is called Come Back, My Children, published in the August 1974 issue of Satsang Desh. Kabir says, I have not seen any man born who is happy. So masters say, what is the reason why we are not happy? The source of happiness is within you, and you have been seeking it outside all through life, in eating, drinking, enjoying scenes, music, this and that thing. If you had withdrawn from outside and risen above body consciousness, you would have found the source of light. So masters say that the human body is the highest in all creation. We have to be in the human body to come in contact with that source of all joy, all happiness, all wisdom, which is within you. Now you see, we are all identified with the body through the outgoing faculties. Our attention is all identified with it, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. They say, rise within you, tap inside, and this is in one and all. How long will this body continue? Few days, few years. After all, we have to leave the body. So this is the golden opportunity in which we must find out that source of happiness which is within us. That can only be had if we rise above body consciousness. This is what the masters come to teach us. First, to rise above body consciousness, withdraw your attention from all outside. Then, withdraw your attention from the body below. Where does it go? Up, because the seat of the soul is at the back of the eyes. And at the time of death, when the soul leaves the body, it withdraws first to the back of the eyes and then transcends. There, the water of life is flowing, you see, is trickling. So they address all men alike. Well, please withdraw your attention from the body below, go up. That's the way back to light. That's the way back to God. This has been the teachings of all masters. This outer life has been given to you for a short time. Make the best use of it. After all, you have to leave the body. When you have to leave the body, why not leave slowly, now? Leaving the body means leaving the body as at the time of death. A dying man's outer attention is withdrawn. If any man goes to him, he does not recognize him. Then the soul, the attention, is withdrawn from the body, and the body becomes numb. The eyes are upturned, and it goes. This is what is called spirituality. O man, learn to leave this body. After all, you have to leave this body someday. Sooner or later, maybe tomorrow, maybe after leaving this room, maybe that you go to sleep and never rise again. Sleep is called the younger sister of death. And moreover, you see, we are attached either to the body or the outside possessions, our family, our contacts, our friendships, our outer enjoyments. When you repeat a certain action daily, then that becomes a habit, and habit turns into nature. You cannot leave it. So this is something to be done. You will say, we have come here to enjoy, and this death question comes in every day. But this is the thing you have to do. If you are ignorant about it, then what will happen? After all, you have to leave. This attachment grows more and more. Why? You should go into it. Leave all desires. Leave all desires. The desires that are attached to outside, to possessions, and everything. Lord Buddha says, be desireless. The tenth guru says, be desireless. Desire is the thing which attracts you outside from day to day. You will go down, headlong down. The source of all attachment outside is your desires. There was one Wali Ram, the prime minister of Akbar the Great. It was the custom in Akbar's court that when the king arrived, all ministers would stand up and would not move until the king sat down. On this day, Wali Ram had a coat in which there was a scorpion, and the king was coming, so he could not move, out of respect. It stung him one place, then another, then three or four times more. He kept quiet. When the king sat down, he said, look here, do you know this scorpion has bitten me so many times, and I have not moved in obedience to the king? If I take it that I am now prime minister, I have been given so much high position only by obedience to the king here. If I am obedient to my lord, what more can I become? He pulled off his coat, threw it down, and ran away into the wilderness. The king was very fond of him. He sent a minister to bring him back. With all his entreaties, Wali Ram said, no, I have done that service. Now I am taking the service of God. Then the king himself went to him. He told him, look, Wali Ram, you are my prime minister, the most wise. I respect you and love you. Will you come back? No, I have taken another service, a higher service than yours. He said, well, I would offer you anything you like. And Wali Ram said, anything? I would like you to go away from this place. You see? So what this desire is that binds us to the outer things, we may be prime minister, maybe king, maybe anything. Man wants to have something, and to get that, he has to work like anything, may be right or wrong. So masters say, you cannot leave this body and outer things unless you become desireless. Please leave off desire. Of course, it is these desires for outside things that are binding you. If you have a desire to know God, to become His, you will become unconcerned. Do you know what happens? breathing is going on day and night, and thy days are numbered. Masters in the East say, thy breaths are numbered. It must be finished. It goes in, goes out. We are just absorbed in our outer thoughts. We don't care. We are quite ignorant about this. All the time, life is passing away. Time and tide wait for no man. After all, it is something like a pitcher full of water. Drop by drop, it is oozing out. Then what will happen? One day the pitcher will be empty. All the water will be out. Similarly, these numbers of breaths or drops of water, you might say, they are dropping out one by one. We think we are getting old. Truly speaking, we are growing young. A man who is to live 50 years, if he has passed 10 years, he has 40 years left. When 20 years have passed, he has only 30 years left. Are you growing older or younger? It is going down. So first of all, man should have some aim in life. That's the main thing. What is your aim? And the highest aim for a man is to know God. And the time is getting shorter. All of you are sitting here. I think you are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. If 50 years have passed away, you have got only a short time left to yourself. Have you achieved your purpose? And that purpose is knowing God only. Acting and posing won't do. You are deceiving your own self and deceiving the God within you. Have you reached God? Have you seen God? Are you true to Him? If so, that's good. If not, we should hurry up. In the short time that remains, we should put in more time so as to be ready before we leave the body. Because we have to leave the body when the time is finished. So when the number of breaths is over, then... These are very common things, simple things. No exaggeration, hard facts. You are the best judge of yourself. Are you true to your own self? Are you honest? Have you come in contact with God? These contacts have been given to you as a favor. I tell you, grace of God. We have not earned them. Something has been given. Grow further, then it will be better. Do you know the parable that Christ gave? A rich man came and gave to one man 5 talents. Another man 2 talents, a third man 1 talent. After some time, he came up and asked the man who had been given 5 talents what he had done with them. He had made 10. That's all right. The one to whom he had given 2 had made 4. But the man who had been given 1, he said, "Oh, I have kept it very safe." So what did he do? He took away the 1 talent that he had. You follow me, what I say? Set aside all your intellects, you see. These are hard facts, what is coming before us. This is a heart-to-heart talk. Don't you see that way what I am pressing before you? Every day, every hour, every minute, every second is bringing you closer to the end. Our time has been frittered away, and we have not achieved the object. The result will be we will be bound to the outside and we will come back. And the cause of binding is only your desires. Desires bring us back. Worldly desires will bring you back, and the desire for God will take you to Him. Whatever your ruling passion is at the end of your life, you will be driven there. That's the law. I am not giving you any bombastic talk, only simple words, what I have come to know. And I think it appeals to everyone. I am not saying anything which is not understandable. Don't you think like that? Then what have we done? We deceive ourselves. That's the pity. Why does not God approach us? Because we deceive Him. Two seekers after truth went to a saint. He simply tested them to see which one was fit. He gave them each a pigeon and told them to kill it where nobody sees you. So one was very active, very clever. He went around the side of a wall and killed him and came back in a few minutes. The other poor fellow went from morn till night and could not find any place to kill him where nobody was seeing him. He came back in the evening. Master, there was no place where I could kill the pigeon. Why? Well, first the pigeon saw me, then I was seeing. He was fit. These are simple things. The only thing required is to live up to them. That's all. If you have an MA or a PhD, or if you are a king or an emperor, no value. You will have to leave the body, and you will have to go where you are attached. Masters do come from time to time to take you out of the body first. The first lesson, the ABC, the more you are attached outside, you cannot go up. The diary is meant only for that purpose. Do you see now? How you develop, how much time you put in, and where you are attached, leave them one by one. We pass the time in ignorance. All the time, God is calling you from within. The sound principle, the music of the spheres, is coming within you from above. All masters say so. Tulsi Sahib says, "Sound is coming from the heavens, calling me back." Shamas Tabrez says, "Out of this temple of the body, I am hearing a sound calling me. Come up. Bell is ringing wildly. Come back, my children, come back." You see? And we do not listen. This is how masters see, and this is within you. Light is given to show you which way to go, and sound directs you where to go. These are the two ways back to God, are they not? So masters always say, "What is all this about? Why did it happen?" Because of desire. We are oblivious of our own self, too. We have forgotten ourselves. This forgetfulness starts from where? From the human body. We are having the body. We are identified with the body. This is due to that. When we are working from the level of the body, and the body is changing, and the world is changing, we are under a grand delusion. And desires keep us always given up to the outer world. When you leave the body, then where are the desires of the outer world? Desire for God is better than the desires for the world. These are very simple lessons given by the masters. Very simple. even a child can understand, what to speak of the learned people. But learned people usually forget all these things in intellectual wrestling. That is why masters have great love for you. Who? Not the master, the God in him. Because you are his children. He sends men now and then to bring you back home. So for that, what do we have to do? The point is, who can help you in that? Some master, call him by any name you like. Someone who is competent, who rises above body consciousness at his own will and pleasure, and traverses into the beyond. He appears to be working in the world, but he is unattached. The boat is in the water, but the water is not in the boat. What does he do? He always says, look here, God is calling you back. He is within you. You are receiving that thing, but you are ignorant. You are attached outside. You are going under a delusion and never cared for it. So once you have come across a master like that, God has sent him for that very purpose. Because you are children of God, so he has love for you. He takes pity on us and looks after our welfare. Once we come to the feet of the master, he has to look after us. What does he do? He winds up all previous actions. He winds up. The words, winding up, I am using, winds up to pay off all debts and takes you back home. If simply we keep his commandments, that's the point. Generally, we don't keep his commandments. We simply modify something which is to our own interests or purposes. We deceive our own self. We deceive the God in us, the Master in us. So all these I submit, be true to your own selves. You deceive the God in you and your own self. After all, you have to leave these outer things, all attachments, all enjoyments, all possessions. If you now begin to leave off slowly, how? When you are given a contact with the non-power within you, keep in contact with that and live up to the commandments of the Master. Slowly these things will leave you. After all, here we have no rest. Outer things have no bliss, no joy in them. Only when our attention is absorbed in the outer things, then we feel joy for as long as it remains absorbed. When that is taken away, or we are withdrawn from that, we feel unhappy. If we want permanent peace, joy, then we should come in contact with that power which is unchanging, which is eternal. God never dies. Outer things leave you. Masters come to give you a contact with the God into expression power. So this is what he says. Slowly leave off. What does diary mean? Whatever our attachments, points of attachment may be due to, leave them off one by one. Weed out and put in time to your meditation. Meditation means withdrawing our attention from all outside and coming in contact with that power which is within you. So masters say that in this life you will have permanent peace. Permanent joy. You will enjoy forever, never be unhappy. They request you people, for your good, to come in contact with that God into expression power, which is all joy, all happiness, all wisdom, all eternal, then you will have that in your life. All your miseries are removed. All your outside troubles or disappointments will end. Masters only want to give you permanent peace and joy. They want nothing more. Remain where you are. You have got some labels on your bodies. That makes no difference. Whatever religion, whatever master we follow wants this to be done. We simply try to go by the rules and regulations fixed up by us, but we should not lose the spirit of them. So this meditation, you will find how much of a necessity it is. How much of a necessity is the diary? This applies to one and all, including myself and everybody. The law does not spare anybody. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you say you don't know, no, you have to go. Every moment is passing away. They don't care for you. Time and tide wait for no man. Just consider calmly. This is a time afforded to you by God to come to your own self and see what is happening with you. In the towns, you have never dreamt of these things, is it not? This short time while you are here, it is worth more than emeralds and gold and rubies. Forget all your environments as long as you are here and see to things in their right perspective, what they are, what you are doing. Are you going headlong down into the world to come again and again? Or are you trying to go back? You will get help. Masters do come up to help you. They give you on the very first day a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. And they also take care of all your deeds, karmas of the past. They wind them up. It is a very onerous duty, you see. Soul is bewildered to think of that duty. So it is a great blessing to come to the feet of the Master. Who gives it? God. To whom? Those who are yearning for him. The more hungry is man, the quicker he gets. The desire for God will bring you closer to God. If you take one step, he will take 100 steps to receive you. And if you have desire for the world, diametrically opposite, you will go down, that's all. Mind that, so long as we do not lecture to our own self, no outer lecture will help us. These things you do know. I am not telling you anything new. You see, these are the hard facts. Unless you lecture to your own self, you have heard this talk now. Now you have to see to your own self what you are doing. You have to understand. Nobody can help you unless you help yourself. So consider calmly what I have placed before you. If the ruling passion for God will remain, all others will subside, and you are sure to go back to God after leaving the body. And now you will be with him. God says in the Quran, "Those who remember me, I remember them." What I have submitted to you, take it home to your heart. Consider over it calmly. Nobody can help you unless you help yourself. You become the lecturer to your own self. And the result will be you will have peace, joy, permanent. These are heart-to-heart talks, you see. Heart-to-heart, not lecturing, no new things. These are hard facts. We have simply been absorbed in other ways, you see. We have looked to the world so fondly and not to our own self. Unless we look to our own self, how can we know what our fate is? How are we going? We are always looking to others outside. How do people think of me? That is also looking outside. So from this moment onward, have the sweet remembrance of God. Don't forget. Have it for 3 days, 2 days. Ramakrishna says, if a man has the sweet remembrance of God continuously for 3 days, he will see God. That will become the ruling passion. Continuously for 3 days. He said, continuously. I don't think you want to leave now. Laughter. So have the sweet remembrance of God. That's all right. That concludes Master's talk, Come Back, My Children, which was published in the August 1974 issue of Satsang Desh. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Claire, for reading for us. 55 of us attended today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
If you wake up now, you'll find very untold treasure of divinity now existing in you. If you do not wake up, this hidden treasure of divinity which lies in you already, that will pass out. You will not be benefited by that because you have been leading the life of the senses only. You have to transcend them.